Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the guests on this segment are not necessarily the views or opinions of the 22days.com radio network.
Hello?
Welcome to 22days.com radio network, the most comprehensive and advanced personal development platform for success.
Broadcasting to the world, around the world, delivering to you the most valuable sources of information for the brain, body, and soul. This is the 22days.com radio network. And a good evening to everybody that has joined us. I appreciate your participation and your listening skills tonight. My name is Logan, and this is the 22days.com radio network. Brain, body, and soul is what we talk about. Everything's all connected, as we know. And this is just another segment curtailing towards that connection. Topic tonight is meditation. Now, it's been a while since I've been on the air and spoke out about this kind of stuff, but this is a hot topic these days. And if you're just listening for the first time, welcome. If you're been listening before, I appreciate your participation again. Meditation, of course, is such a popular topic, and if you have listened before, I've mentioned it many times before, I've included it in my program every single time on everything I've ever talked about. I think I've never skipped a beat with the meditation aspect. It's always included in the part of the solution when trying to reach a higher state of consciousness. And it's obviously very popular these days. I mean, it's pretty much plastered everywhere that we go. It's really involved in the organic movement, in the green movement. Everywhere you turn, it's meditation, meditation. The funny and interesting part of meditation is, even though its popularity is on the rise, there isn't too many people that are doing it in today's society. Now, definitely, there's a reason for that. And, I've come to the conclusion, and I believe that meditation is something that takes patience. And most people that start to get involved with meditation, or at least try it for the first time, get zero benefits from it. They absolutely feel nothing at the end of their session. They may feel peace or tranquility if you are more Zen, but if you're trying it for the first time, if this is the first time you've listened about the talks about meditation, please understand that it's not like an instant scratch ticket. There's no gratification usually the first few times that you do it, maybe the first few weeks that you do it. But it is a benefit that, to me, is profound, and it's one of the greatest things that you can do. I mean, that's the topic, the benefit of a lifetime that will change your life. Now, if you add it into your daily regimen, the benefits, of course, will pay off in the long run. Again, it's not an instant scratch ticket. You're not going to hit the winner right away. You're not going to feel Zen right away. And really understand that trying to meditate is meditation. So there's various ways that you can do it. We're going to get into that. But it's not just about getting in the lotus position or your legs crossed and sitting in a quiet room and closing your eyes and focusing on your breathing. I mean, there's way more to it than just that. And really, again, trying to meditate is meditation. There is no right or wrong way to meditate. The fact is that if you actually consciously make a decision to say, I'm going to meditate on a daily basis, the benefits will have some profound effects in the long run. You'll notice them you know, periodically through your day, perhaps. But definitely, it's something that you're going to have to do for the long haul. Okay? So that's one thing I do want to point out. This is for the long haul. Now, meditation is really staying conscious of one of the most important things to be conscious of, and that's the internal programming in this very moment. Now, there's basically four elements that I would ask you to consider for the very reasons to meditate. That would mean you're emotionally going to feel maybe depression, anger, guilt, or shame. Perhaps anxiety may fall into that category. Depression, anger, guilt, shame, anxiety. If one of those things are involved in your life, if you're feeling those on a very high basis, that should tell you that something internally has to be corrected or at least observed to figure out what it is that you need to release, let go of, or remind yourself of that you need to correct this situation. So what we want to do is we want to stop, think, and meditate, and this will be able to allow us to observe where we're going to go, what we need to work on. Now, the story I'm going to start out with, maybe you've heard this story before. It's a fun story, but there's a really underlying message to this story. And it's the story of the scorpion and the frog. And the scorpion and the frog is a great basic story. It goes back a long way, but the story kind of goes on about, and I'm going to read this directly from my script here because it's going to be much easier. One day a frog was sitting happily by the side of a river when a scorpion came along. "Oh, my frog," said the scorpion, "I need to get to the other side of the river to be with my family. Will you please carry me across?" "But Mr. Scorpion, if I do that, then you'll sting me," replied the frog, somewhat aghast at the request. "No, I won't," said the scorpion. "Do you promise you won't?" said the rather doubtful frog. "I really promise I won't sting you," said the scorpion. "Do you really, really promise?" asked a still dubious frog. "Yes, I really promise," replied the scorpion, very sincerely. "Okay," the frog said, "reluctantly hop on." So the scorpion climbed the top of the frog's back and they set off. Halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog. In horror, the frog, unable to continue swimming and with both of them about to drown, finally managed to gasp to the scorpion, "Please, Mr. Scorpion, just tell me one thing before we both go underwater. Just tell me why, when you promised you would not, why did you sting me?" And the scorpion replied, "Because it's my nature." So that story, it's an amazing story. And what does this have to do with meditation? Well, the scorpion obviously is programmed to sting the frog. The scorpion is programmed to do so. And you know, quite frankly, all of us are programmed machines. You, the listener tonight, you're listening, you are a programmed machine. You have programmed yourself to involve yourself. You're a creature of habit. You do things automatically. And you obviously have to do that because if you had to think about everything you had to do on every day, you'd never get anything done. But literally, if we don't become consciously aware of what we're doing, then we're literally going to live on automatic pilot most of the time. Now, I use that word a lot. If you've listened to any of the previous segments I've done, I've said that quite a bit, automatic pilot. And because of the fact that we live on automatic pilot, we're not consciously aware of what's going on. So that really relates to that story of having the instinct measures to just do what we need to do, and we do it without thinking, but when we do it without thinking, we literally run in circles. It becomes very mundane and we don't even realize that. So meditation allows us to step outside of ourselves, observe what's going on, and get out of that instinctive level that we've created, the programmed machine, the creature of habit that you are. And that's really what meditation is all about. It's observing so we can get out of our instinctual measures and really make some serious changes in our lives. And that's what we need to do. And now that gets involved with the ego at this point. Because really the ego machine that you've been dealing with your entire life. And meditation allows you to observe that to make those corrections that you're looking for. So to be different in our lives, to make those changes, to be happy and healthier, you know, we always look at maybe the grass being greener on the other side. But really, is the grass greener on the other side? Are we content with what we have? And how do we make those changes if the grass is green on the other side? Meditation comes to the rescue. Okay? And Robert Thurman put it so graciously. He says that, I think I'm the most important being in the world, but nobody else thinks it's about me. Time doesn't think it's about me. Space doesn't think it's about me. The planet doesn't think it's about me. It doesn't take much to get the message that it is actually not about me. But if somebody comes and steps on my toes or wants to take away my strawberries, then suddenly it's all about me again. So you think about that. Nobody, it's really, the world doesn't revolve around you as an individual. It doesn't revolve around me as an individual. It doesn't revolve around your significant other. That's really what life's all about. But we when we feel threatened, automatically everything is like it's all about us. And that's because we have the number one instinct, which is the survival instinct. That's why we look both ways when we cross the street. But realistically, the ego wants to raise its conscious above that, and it always wants to be the center of attention. Meditation allows us to break that and get into a mode of just becoming one with yourself. And of course, the ego is a separate piece of you, something that you created. And that's very important to understand. So the main issue here, realistically, is the negative ego. Now, if we don't understand other people's feelings, their suffering or behavior, then, you know, what we perceive, what we're concerned with, is only our ego and image. And of course, that's what meditation is able to do. Meditation is able to break that wall down and let us step out of ourselves and become one with ourselves. So that way, we're not going to look at things in life from a it's all about me perspective. Now, if your ego becomes too strong, it causes a lot of other emotions, the ones we talked about, anxiety, loneliness, depression, anger, jealousy. If we feel insecure, our ego becomes even bigger just to protect us, just to make up for that, because survival is our number one instinct, and the ego will not let itself go. So in this way, when we feel insecure and our ego gets bigger and we always have to be right, if you notice in today's society, people are always arguing with other people or at least trying to prove other people wrong because they claim that they're right. And that's all ego, as we know. And meditation allows us to release ourselves from that prison, that ego. And it allows us just to be. But if our ego thinks it has to defeat other people in order to survive, then you got a really major issue there, which will literally just hold you back from getting to where you need to be. And then, of course, when the ego raises its high horse, it's got to get even tougher. You continually just get drug along. And then, of course, you're then a puppet on strings, and you then no longer are the puppeteer in life. And that's an important aspect to ask yourself question-wise. Are you the puppeteer? Are you controlling the strings? Or are you just a puppet on strings? That's an important thing. So self-centeredness and selfishness, which are all hallmarks of the ego, they affect not only our lives and relationships, but they also influence the way we behave and show up in the world. There's no limit or damage that a strong ego can do. We all know that. From the arrogant conviction that its own opinions are the only right ones, as mentioned, it only have to be right. And everyone else is made to believe that they're wrong. So you're going to wield and abuse that power at the expense of other people's lives and liberties. Now, we're creating a scenario here of what the heck has this got to do with meditation? Well, once again, if you've ever meditated before or if you have not, the suggestion, of course, would be to start. And it's a great time to start today. Perhaps maybe this will be a first time after you're done listening. Maybe I'm going to amp you up, or maybe you're just wanting to do it and you haven't done so. But you listening to this, maybe this is your chance to finally make that crossroad over and start meditating. Now, it's very simple to meditate, as I mentioned to you. We're going to get into that just in a little bit here. But I'm just creating a scenario for you to understand and get a picture of what's really the area of concern, and that is the ego. Because again, if we're not becoming one with ourselves, if we don't step outside the box, if we don't literally close off of our minds, you know, they say your average daily thoughts average between 40 and 60,000 per day. Now, the top psychologists say that over 70% of those 40 to 60,000 thoughts are negative. That's quite a bad ratio for the average person to become positive in their life. So we really know that it takes a lot of effort, and meditation allows us to fast track getting our thoughts in positive fashion. Because really meditation, people think, well, I can't control my thoughts. And of course, you know, 40 to 60,000 thoughts per day, who the heck can? The main thing is not to shut the mind off, but to observe. What are you thinking about every single day? Tough when you have all these responsibilities coming your way and you have to, you know, you have to go to work, you have to run the business, you got to pay attention to the wife or the husband, walk the dog, you have to make your food, you got to go work out, you got to, literally there's so much that you have responsibility-wise to take care of. When do you have time to sit down and meditate and really close off your mind? It's going to take a conscious effort. So literally my suggestion is that you make a conscious effort of saying, each and every single day I'm going to meditate. Just start for 5 or 10 minutes and set your timer on your phone or your watch. And once that timer goes off, you get up and you move on and you get going with your day or night. It doesn't need to be something 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. Now, I follow Stuart Wilde. Stuart Wilde, he's dead now. He's a great philosopher back in the day. And his recommendation is doing it for 24 minutes each and every day, 1 minute for each hour. So that's what that's the pattern I've pretty much adopted now is the 24 minutes a day. And I usually take the same position each and every time. I have my chair, very, very comfortable chair. And what you do is you get some incense if you can, or a candle, and get in a really good comfortable position, sitting upright if preferred to be. Laying down is okay too, but preferred to be upright. And then I usually use some binaural beats, some music, and that will give you the sense of well-being. You want to be able to touch on all the senses. So you want to be able to listen to some music that's going to soothe you, some meditation music, maybe some Cafe Del Mar, whatever gets you in the mood. Preferably, I don't like to use lyrics or any kind of singing in the music, so it distracts you. But you want to really take some deep breaths, get down in the moment, and get in a comfortable position, put that candle or incense on so you get the smell going, and really get into a deep trance. And all you have to do really is, you don't even have to close your eyes. Some people stare at flames. You can light a candle. You can stare at the candle. But the point is to shut yourself off from the world and really still your mind. So if you're going to have thoughts coming into your mind, observe them. And if you have predominant ones that are negative, you know, I mean, if you're thinking negative all day long, or if you're thinking negative quite a bit, which it's happened to all of us, you know, I have my bouts with it as well. I mean, I'm not immune to any of this stuff, and I can assure you that, you know, we all have those thoughts. So if something's coming into your mind, observe it. And then, of course, when you do your meditation, you want to ask the universe, or ask God, or however you want to do it, go into prayer. But what's the point of why I'm thinking angry all the time? What are the reasons why I'm having these thoughts come into my life? And you'll be able to observe more so of that meditation. I mean, I'm sorry, of those thoughts coming in while you're meditating. Very, very important to have an objective before you do your meditation. And the meditation is really, it's a starting point to become one with yourself and the universe. But once you once you have some practice under your belt, if you do it on a daily basis, day in and day out, it's just like anything else, you're going to become good at it. Playing a musical, I've mentioned this before, if you ever picked up and played a musical instrument before, you probably were really terrible at it, but if you practice at it over and over, day in and day out, you start to become good at it. Meditation is the same thing. There's no benefits, again, when you first start doing it, but once you become good at it, not only are you able to just calm your senses and become very peaceful and serene, but then you're able to move on to the next realm of meditation, which is you're able to control your thoughts. Now, at first, like I said, you may not be able to, and that's okay. That's the time to observe and find out what's coming into your thought process. What are the patterns coming in? Again, if 70% of most people think negative, do you fall into that category? Now, of course, you're probably going to say, no, that's not me. I don't do that. But it takes, a real authentic human being to admit that, they fall into that category. And it's an empowering thing as far as I'm concerned. But the benefit of that, again, is when you're meditating and you're getting in that zone and you have a lot of practice, again, first you're observing, then you're moving into the realm of being able to control your thoughts. Now, what benefit does that have to our lives? Well, again, if you fall into the average category of 70% of all your thoughts are negative or close to that, well, then you need some work on that aspect. And meditation is the exercise. That's exercising your mind. That's the terminology I use. Exercising your mind to control it. Because the ego, I mean, remember that the ego's number one instinct is survival. We don't want to be a scorpion. We don't want to be a creature of habit with the way we do our daily activities in life. If somebody gets angry, do you automatically get angry back at them? You're instinctively prone to being angry back at somebody when they scream and yell at you? Or you just kind of, you take it in, but you're not going to go down to that level. What kind of person are you? That's what meditation does. It allows you to control that. So if you are an angry person, if you do fly off the handle, if you get upset when you're in rush hour traffic, well, there's a reason why you do that. Meditation allows you to release whatever is building up inside of you, whatever is causing you to have that kind of anxiety, depression, fear, jealousy, resentment, whatever the case may be. It gives us the space to really see ourselves clearly and objectively, a place from which we can witness our own behavior and we can reduce the ego's influence on our lives. Without that, when do you have time to do it? Think about it. The responsibilities that we have in this day and age, and everything's so fast-paced. Communication's out the window. It's all cyber now. It's all texting. It's crazy. Nobody makes phone calls anymore. Nobody leaves voicemails. It's all text messages now. And everything gets convoluted. So really, when we're so cyber and so we have all this electromagnetism around us all the time, we get sucked into it. We literally start following that pattern. Then realistically, when do we really think? When do we get to disconnect from all that stuff that we're surrounded by all the time? So it's very, very important to really disconnect. Meditation's you're staying conscious of one of the most important things to stay conscious of, and that's the internal programming of the moment that you're sitting in. The internal programming in the moment. Because if you're not in the moment, if you're not here now, you're listening to what I'm saying here now. But are you distracted? Is there someone screaming in the background? Is there a dog barking? Are you distracted? Are you presently here and now? Many times throughout the day, how can we be present here and now on ourselves to work on our internal programming? How can we, when we have so many outside influences, people relying on us, the work, the job, the money, the feeding ourselves, making ourselves look good from a physical standpoint. There's so many different things that prevent us from moving into oneness with ourselves. So it's vastly important to really grasp this and ask yourself, what frame of mind are you in on a daily basis? With the ego, it makes us believe that we're immutable and unchangeable. But in truth, our true nature is completely free and it's unbound and unfettered. That's really who we are. We don't have any limitations. We place the limitations on ourselves. We put the limitations on ourselves. And we derive those from everything around us that's causing us to have this friction or resistance. We usually think of such mind states like negative mind states and whatnot. It's a part of life, but they don't need to be because we create those. And meditation allows us to release the garbage that we create. We have to make the conscious decision to release it. Meditation allows it to speed up and expedite that process. Because, meditation, it can change the world. Meditation changes us internally. That's the whole point. The world's not going to change until we change. And it takes a conscious effort. And that's what meditation does. It allows us to speed up our consciousness. It allows us to speed up to become one with ourselves. And that's the whole point. So I encourage you to really ask yourself, how positive are you? And what do you think about it on a day-to-day basis? Now, I've had different segments on you know, obviously brain, body, and soul, but I've mentioned many times there's a great author by the name of Emmett Fox, and he has in one of his books called The 7-Day Mental Diet, and his recommendation is for 7 days you literally are a analyzer of your thoughts. That's your whole objective. So, you know, it's tough to do because you're constantly bombarded by all the responsibilities out there, but if you have maybe a vacation time that you're going on, perhaps you want to maybe undertake that, the 7-Day Mental Diet, where you literally just focus on your thoughts on a day-to-day basis for a full week, and you see exactly what's going on, and then after that, then your whole objective would be to move in on only positive thinking on a day-to-day basis, all day, every day. So literally, your cue would be, if you start to have any negative thoughts, instantly you switch it into a positive. That's your cue. The minute you start being unloving or angry or resentful toward people, you automatically switch it over to a positive, happy, healthy lifestyle, loving, love, 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 love. And really, meditation allows us to become that flower. It allows us to be just be inside of ourselves and really close in on the oneness that we have with the universe, the connection, the connecting point. The change that you're seeking, as they say, the things you're seeking are seeking you. And if you're listening to this segment, it's not a coincidence, or you didn't click on the tab to listen to it just because it was there for you to click on. You clicked on it because it jolted something inside of you to listen. It attracted you because perhaps, like I said, maybe it's something that you've been looking to do. It's meditation. And, you know, this is just one message amongst thousands and thousands and thousands of them out there. There's so much material on the internet, YouTube. But you have to make the conscious decision to get out there and do it. And that's all it takes. Just saying, you know what, I'm going to do it. And then, of course, you got to make a habit out of it. And anybody that knows me, anybody knows any of my previous segments, I'm really, really big on habits. Habits are everything in life. I mean, that's the makeup of you. Environments, habits, and customs. That's it. That is the complete makeup of you. Environments that you grew up in, habits that you created, and customs that you followed. That is the true makeup of you. And the sooner that you understand that, the quicker you can make the changes in your life. We all know if you're in an environment you don't like it, get out of the environment that you're in. Get into a different environment. That helps change up things. If you have bad habits, create new ones. Abandon the old ones. You don't need to fix anything. You just let them go. You don't need to correct anything. Create new ones. It's very easy. And then, of course, customs. What kind of customary things do you do? Do they cause problems or do they cause prolific things to happen in your life? These are all things that you can do to look at in your life and analyze and whatnot, but I'm telling you, meditation, if you're doing it every single day, again, my recommendation is just start doing it for 5 or 10 minutes a day. You don't have to close your eyes. You can stare at the wall. You can take a walk through nature if you want to, if you don't want to sit still, but I prefer to sit still and sit in an upright position in a comfortable chair, burn some incense or put a candle, light a flame to a candle, and either stare at the candle or close your eyes or stare at the wall, whatever you want to do. Put some music on to block out any noises, preferably some meditation music, and just observe to what your senses are, observe to what your thoughts are coming in at. And once you become very good at it, you have a few weeks, 2-3 weeks of practice of meditation, you'll then be able to move into controlling your thoughts. And when you control your thoughts and you're thinking more positive, as we know, what you shall show, you shall reap. So if you're thinking positive thoughts, you can have only positive things come into your life. That's a guarantee. That is a quantum physics aspect. Whatever you think comes about, we all know that. And you're an attracting force of energy. So it's important. The meditation aspect allows you to really become one with yourself and the universe. And it allows you to control your life, which is the reason why you're listening to this segment. You want to increase your consciousness and be a better person. And I commend you for that. And I really am inspired that you're listening to this segment. So that's going to do it for tonight. I appreciate it. Short and sweet, 30 minutes. My name is Logan, 22days.com is my website. Please join me again on my other segments. Thank you. I will say goodnight.